Do you know the number one thing that surprises engaged couples? Take a guess. The sheer amount of decisions they have to make while planning a wedding. Indoors or outdoors? How many guests? Are kids invited? Controversial. Which cake flavor? Seriously, how do you even begin to figure out what's right for you? That's where Zola comes in. Zola has everything you need to make every wedding decision a piece of cake, from choosing your dream wedding venue and vendors to deciding how to best spend your budget. With tons of customizable wedding websites, save the dates and invites, every detail will feel like you. Zola will even help you choose the gifts, experiences, and cash funds you really want. The next thing you know, you've planned your whole wedding all in one place. From getting engaged to getting married, Zola has everything you need to plan your wedding in one place. Start planning at Zola.com. That's Zola.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's the Amazing Rico Bronya Podcast with your host, Evan Roberts.
Rico Bronya, and for the very first time in this 2024/2025 offseason, we have a reaction to a significant move, a move that isn't a minor league deal, inviting Joey Meneses to spring training, a real life, impactful major league move as the New York Mets have signed Frankie Montas to a 2-year, $34 million contract. So on Sunday night, we did a live Rico where we previewed trading for position players. If you haven't heard that, you can download that wherever you download your Ricos. I then went to sleep. I went to bed. I woke up in the middle of the night, I checked my phone, I see this signing, and I went right back to sleep. My reaction upon going to sleep, seeing that the Mets had signed Frankie Montas to a 2-year contract, is probably the reaction most people had and are still having, which is disappointment. That was my initial reaction. We went through every single starting pitcher a few weeks ago on the Rico for free agent targets, and when we got to Frankie Montas, me and Hoff both kind of agreed, underwhelming, he's not very good. And here's the great sign of how you feel about a pitcher or how you feel about a player. When the Brewers announced that Frankie Montas was starting a playoff game against the New York Mets, do you remember what our reaction was? Our reaction was great. That's fantastic. He's not a guy that instills fear in you. I think there are two kind of bias thoughts we have on Frankie Montas before we dive a little deeper. Number one, how we felt when we faced him in the postseason and that final few days of the year as a member of the Brewers. And number two, how distinctly awful he was as a New York Yankee. And when he was a New York Yankee in 2022, after they made that trade for him, he pitched in 8 games and he sucked. He was awful. And then in 2023, he was Carl Pavano. He never pitched. And so fair or not, I think that we remember that about Frankie in 2022 and 2023, and that leaves kind of a negative taste in your mouth. So those are the first two things that probably jump out at you. The other thing that's very difficult to kind of digest, even with a night's sleep, you can kind of think better of it, is that the first pitcher you sign, the first guy you add to a rotation that clearly needs multiple arms, it's kind of not exciting when it's the back end. And that's exactly who Frankie Montas is. And that's where I shift from this sucks, I hate this move, to all right, let's see. The all right, let's see is the fact that he's the fifth or sixth starter. He better be the fifth or sixth starter. because that's all Frankie Montas is. You know, you look at his career, quite frankly, he's had one good year, and that was 5 years ago, 4 years ago in Oakland. So I think what sometimes is challenging when you're waiting for moves to be made, and obviously in our case, we're waiting for Juan Soto, maybe we're waiting for Corbin Burns, one of the top-end guys, is one of the back-end guys is your first signing, it's tough to get very excited. And I wouldn't even compare it to last year, because last year, the Mets' first signing was Luis Severino, a guy that I happen to be very high on, far different than Frankie Montas. And also, the expectations of last offseason were very different than the expectations of this offseason. So I think once you look past the disappointment that this is our first move and you look at it rationally and you frame it the way we should frame it, which is he's a back of the rotation arm. The Mets are attempting to do a little bit of what they did last year, which is let's find somebody on a relatively cheap deal. And I use that word relatively because he's getting $17 million a year and hope that Jeremy Hefner and the Met pitching lab gets the best out of Frankie Montas. That's your hope. And a credit to David Stearns and a credit to Jeremy Hefner is that based on last year's results of Manaea and Severino, they get the benefit of the doubt. So initial reaction to the signing is disappointment. Initial reaction to the signing is I'm not a big Frankie Montas guy. I'm not high on him. He was not high on my list. But the Mets earned a little bit of that trust based on what happened last offseason. So I don't love it. It's not the end of the world. I'm not going to panic. This isn't the Will Pons of 6 years ago where this is the one guy that they're adding. But I don't love Frankie Montas. And I don't think you too either, Hoff. I mean, when we talked about him in that free agent podcast, I think we both had that same reaction of, eh, I don't love Frankie Montas. That would not be my first choice.
Yeah, but this is what, here's the thing. Pitching lab. That's what I'm buying into. It's the pitching lab. There's got to be a reason. First of all, the Mets in recent years have a hard-on for Oakland A's pitchers. Chris Bassitt in 2022, Sean Manaea last year, and now Frankie Montas. So clearly there's something in the water. Maybe there's – I haven't looked into it. Maybe there's like a scout that's with the Mets organization that says, hey, trust me. And not for nothing, but David Stearns did come from Milwaukee, and the fact that the Milwaukee Brewers traded for Montas last year – you got to think that maybe his name was floating around anyway. So there's clearly some sort of likability there from Stearns and company. I just don't care enough with this move because, like you said, it's back end. If he's the sixth starter and he can make it 20 starts, I think that's good enough and serviceable enough.
All right, guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. And if you're betting college football bowl games, and that can be a dicey endeavor, we're the podcast for you. We're releasing breakdowns for every matchup with new episodes dropping almost every day. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's it.
Well, I agree with that. Sometimes, and I remember saying this a lot last year, there's a painting being drawn. It's very difficult to judge the painting when only the fire hydrant has been painted. You know, you got to see what the rest of the painting looks like. And I agree with you, and I think most of us would agree. If Frankie Montas ends up being depth-wise the fifth, dare I say, sixth starting pitcher, I doubt he'll be the sixth starting pitcher. So let's say fifth starting pitcher. You look at his career and you say, you know what? If he gives you what he gave Cincinnati and Milwaukee last year, which is 30 starts and a 4.8 ERA, quite frankly, for a fifth starter, that's fine. You know, I think one difference is he started a playoff game for the Milwaukee Brewers. If the Mets are fortunate enough to be in the postseason in 2025, we would not be happy with Frankie Montas starting a playoff game. A couple of things, though. I like the idea of bringing in guys on short-term contracts and seeing what you got. The Mets hit the jackpot on that last year. And I think for the most part, while I'm in favor of going after an ace like Corbin Burns, we've talked about him in the past, I don't want to load up my rotation on multiple long-term contracts from starting pitchers. There's just so much risk involved. So I think the Mets showed you last year that the formula of bringing guys in on short-term deals with the attitude of, hey, if I get a great year out of them, fantastic. Maybe I go as far as the sixth game of the NLCS. And if I don't, I'm not married to them long-term. I like that. And we talked about that last year. Like, it's a good strategy. I think what's difficult to look past is $17 million is a ton of money. $17 million on a short-term, let's see what we got, lotto ticket kind of signing is a lot of money. Now, the reality is, a few hours after the Mets signed Frankie Montas, another guy we mentioned in the free agent Rico, Matthew Boyd, signed a similar contract with the Chicago Cubs for just a few million dollars less. He's making $14.5 million, so a little bit less than Frankie Montas. Matthew Boyd made 8 starts last year. Matthew Boyd has barely pitched the last couple of years, and he's a 33-year-old lefty. And when we talked about Boyd, I remember saying, yeah, I'd bring him in, but never did I think we'd be talking about a 2-year, $34 million contract, or in his case, 2 years, $28 million contract. So it shows you just how stupid the starting pitching market is. So it's tough to complain about how much money Montas is making when every crap starter is making a ton of money. But they do have him on a 2-year deal. It's structured very similar to the Sean Manaea contract, where if Montas has a big year, he's gone after this season. He'll opt out, and then we'll kind of reevaluate the whole thing. Who knows? Maybe we'll fall in love with Montas the way we did Sean Manaea. So it's tough to look past the $17 million a year, but the framework of it is very similar to what they did last year with Luis Severino and Sean Manaea, and that's bringing a guy in on a short-term deal. So evil Evan, negative Evan, if you want to call him that, but really sensible, yeah, I'll go with sensible Evan, looks at this signing as very underwhelming. And then when you give it thought, Stearns and Hefner has earned the benefit of the doubt. It's a short-term contract, but more importantly, he needs to be the back-end piece. So right now, when you look at this Met rotation, here's how I view it. You have Kodai Senga, who I think is 2-ish in your rotation, but he's got to prove he can stay healthy after a lost year last year. You have David Peterson, who I'm going to pencil in as a 3, but certainly if he builds off of last year, could jump up to 2 or number 1. And then you've got Montas at 5, which leaves you in a spot of, can you go add the top line starting pitcher, whether via trade, we'll get into that this week on our trade week edition of trading for starting pitchers, Rico, or do you sign a top end guy like Corbin Burns or Max Fried, and then another middle to back of the rotation arm? That's how I look at the art, as I drop my microphone, of this 5-man rotation after signing Frankie Montas.
Can I just say, comment on one thing you said earlier about the financials, you know, that, you know, it's expensive for a guy that may be a 6th, 5th, 6th, 10th starter. But on the other hand, look at what they did for Justin Verlander 2 years ago. They spent almost $40 million a year on the guy. He didn't pitch either, and he was very upsetting. So at least if Montas is $20 million cheaper, you got to think that he should be able to, if healthy, pitch 30 games.
Well,
I mean, it's actually not terrible. And his numbers, you never know. You have a more upside with Montas than you do with Verlander.
Well, I think that's the hope. The hope is we've seen, and this is where there are similarities to Manaea and Severino. The best of Frankie Montas was a long time ago, much like the best of Luis Severino was a long time ago. In Manaea's case, or I'm sorry, in Montas's case, it was really 2021 and early 2022. So if you get that upside, if you get the best of Frankie Montas, this is a very good signing. And that's what the Mets are hoping for. Now, as far as his recent success, let's go through it. Last year, he pitched with Cincinnati, was not good. He made 19 starts and pitched to a 5.01 ERA. But something that's very important to keep in mind, and maybe this is me talking into how they can hit the jackpot on Frankie Montas, or I'm just trying to be realistic. He did not pitch in 2023. 2023 was an absolutely lost season with the New York Yankees. He actually only made one appearance. It was a relief appearance, and he went an inning and a third. So essentially, 2023 was a completely lost season. 2022, he got hurt late in the season, and it was a weird year because in Oakland, he was really good. Then he had some kind of injury. Brian Cashman traded for him while there were questions about his health. He pitched injured with the Yankees and was bloody awful. He then has the surgery. It was, I think it was elbow surgery, if memory serves correct. He misses all of 2023, and then last year was his return year, but he was coming off a season in which he didn't pitch. And he got better as the season went on. He starts off in Cincinnati, makes the 19 starts, pitches to a 5 ERA. He gets traded to Milwaukee, where his strikeout numbers go way up. In the 11 starts he made with Milwaukee, he was striking out 11 guys per 9 innings. The only other time in Montas's career he was in double digits of strikeouts per 9 was that successful 2021 season when he was the best of his career. So Montas was trending in a positive direction. Now, we don't remember that because we think of him making errors and being ineffective against the Mets in the two starts he made against us down the stretch of the year. But he did pitch to a 4.5 ERA in the 11 starts he made with Milwaukee. So if you look at 22, 23, and 24, the last three seasons, it's really all over the place. A very good first half with Oakland in 22, a terrible injury-prone second half with the Yankees in 2022 second half, a completely lost 2023, a bad first half, but he pitches in 2024, and a better second half in 2024 with Milwaukee. So the hope is he's trending in the right direction. In 2021, here are his numbers on the one kind of very good season he had. He made 32 starts for Oakland that year. He threw 187 innings, the career high, has not come very close to that since. He struck out 10 guys per nine, only walked 2.7, had a 3.37 ERA, and a FIP of 3.37. So he wasn't unlucky. He wasn't lucky. He was exactly that kind of pitcher over the 32 starts. And that's your vision. That's your hope that he could be that guy. In 2020, he was bad. Obviously, it was a shorter season, the season I like to throw out. Very tough to look at, especially with starting pitchers. And if you go back to 2019 in 16 starts, he also pitched really well to a 2.6 ERA. So it does fit the very similar formula of trying to kind of resurrect the best of a veteran pitcher. It's a two-year deal. It's $34 million. And now the Mets have locked in a third starter to their rotation. But to me, I still think they need two arms because I don't think Montas, if you would have signed, I don't know, a top guy, or I should say more of a veteran guy, or a more I don't even say veteran guy. He is a veteran guy. A more safer choice in the middle of the rotation, then I think I could kind of go with only adding two starters and then relying on one of my young guys or even Tyler McGill to be a fifth starter. If Montas is your fifth starter, and that's how I view him, I think the Mets now need to add two more starting pitchers. Doesn't add up to all be in free agency. One can be trade. One can be free agency. I guess they both can be trades. A top-of-the-line guy, and then a middle-of-the-rotation guy. Think about it this way, Met fans. If they end up signing, and I don't think this is going to happen, but let's just say we'll be optimistic on this Monday. If they sign Burns and Manaea as the other two starting pitchers, how good do you feel about this rotation? How good do you feel about Montas being the fifth guy? If all of a sudden you go to war with a rotation of Corbin Burns, Sean Manaea, Kodai Senga, David Peterson, and Frankie Montas, I would be... I don't know about you. Then all of a sudden we look at the Montas signing and say, hey, that ain't bad. Hey, that's not too shabby. So again, I think a lot of this is going to depend on what they do next. But I'll tell you what really takes me back is that Boyd contract. Here's a guy in Matthew Boyd who, even though he pitched well in the short time he was pitching, talk about a guy that's barely pitched. Matthew Boyd's getting $14.5 million. Think about this with Matthew Boyd. He made 8 starts with Cleveland this year. He made 15 starts with Detroit in 2023 and only 10 starts the year before that, 15 starts the year before that. So in the last four combined seasons, he's made 48 starts and he just got paid, what was it, $14 million a year? Based on his average amount of starts, you're paying the guy $1 million a start. But what you're doing is, A, you're showing us that the starting pitching market isn't very good. But then also you're banking that the 34-year-old lefty, and he's 34, so he's older than Frankie Montas, you're kind of banking that he can build off of the 8 starts he had with Cleveland, and the best is yet to come. But it shows you how out of whack this starting pitching market is. And if Frankie Montas is getting $17 million, if Yusei Kikuchi is getting $21 million or whatever the hell he got from Anaheim, if Matthew Boyd is getting $14.5 million, what in the world is Sean Manaea going to get? I think Sean Manaea may get $27 million a year. I think it's on the table. So if Manaea ends up getting a 4-year deal and you say 27 a year, that's $108 million. Would the Mets be willing, would Steve Cohen be willing to dump out $100 million for Manaea and then well over $200 million for Corbin Burns? It's a lot of money. But hey, he's got it, right? So we shall see. So overall, my first reaction to the signing was disappointment, was Frankie Montas, he stinks, I don't love him. Upon giving it more time, this fits the David Stearns, let's take out a lottery ticket and see what we got. But the key is, what's next? The key is, how do you fill out the rest of this rotation? Your thoughts on the Frankie Montas signing, whether you agree, disagree, hate it, love it, you can email us, therico@gmail.com, therico@gmail.com. We appreciate you waking up if you're listening in the morning, or if you're listening to this on your drive home or at night. We appreciate you downloading and subscribing to an instant reaction. The Mets add a starting pitcher edition of Rico Bronya.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Rico Bronya podcast. It's amazing, isn't it? Make sure you download it now to keep it on you at all times.